Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. A nurse by training, Lorene Kingston found her true calling when she helped her cousin deliver a baby in her parents' home. A new biography describes Kingston's journey as a highly sought-after midwife, as well as a Mormon fundamentalist and an advocate for abused women. Today on the program, Lorene Kingston joins us to talk about tolerance, about polygamy, and the modern midwife. And Lorene Kingston joins me here in studio. Lorene, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Lorene Ekstrom Kingston is a retired midwife who has delivered about 3,000 babies. She is the subject of a new biography titled The Midwife, a biography of Lorene Ekstrom Kingston by Victoria Burgess. And it's published by Signature Books. Later on in the program, a focus on 3D art, the annual Face of Utah Sculpture, opens this weekend. But first, The Midwife. What questions do you have about Kingston's work as a midwife or with abused women or with a polygamous sect? And if you used a midwife yourself, what do you think a midwife brings to the birth experience? Give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Lorene Kingston, before we get to some of the unique aspects of your life, I want to start with that first experience delivering a baby. In the book, I believe the year was 1952. You had just arrived at your parents' home after a long day working at the hospital as a nurse. What did you find when you came home?
I found that the doctor who was Dr. Rulon Allred was not there. My cousin was in late stages of labor. Everyone was quiet, didn't know what to do. I want to correct that the midwife does not deliver, it's the mother that does, and Victoria Burgess will set that straight.
Very good. I stand corrected.
So I just merely put my hands on her shoulder, and I think there's a touch that people have, and I think I had that gift of the touch calms you, lets you know that someone's there, that's on your side, that understands and will be there when you need them.
So you were trained as a nurse. Did that give you some sense of calm?
At that time, the education, I was not a nurse then, and it's illegal for nurses to do these things. Later, I went to school or the community college and scrubbed the walls first to get our place ready to teach. But in those days, grandmas caught the babies or someone that was a little intuitive. No one understood what sterile or clean was. They just did it. Mm. And there was a lot of mistakes made, but I was intuitive and I did a good job, especially the sterile part.
Intuitive. It sounds like you have that gift. What does it take to be a good midwife, do you think?
Be there when you're needed and listen, a good listener.
You were born into a fundamentalist family. I understand your parents were some of the first members of the Davis County Cooperative Society, which you call the co-op. It's sort of this utopian society. Give us a sense of what the idea is behind the co-op.
I think the idea is consecration. And I do believe the co-op has the best system as far as consecration.
When you say accuracy, consecration, you mean
that all your incomings and outgoings are in the name of the Lord. I think there is, the key word is obedience. And whatever the leader says, there's no questions asked, you just do it. And I think that puts a blanket on, or a ceiling, on how far you can go.
Mm-hmm. So this concept of consecration, you give your financial means over, and it's a reapportioned among the congregants. You give your property, you give your time, your energy,
talents,
everything.
All that you are or ever expect to be.
You decided to go ahead and get an education, though, to study to become a nurse. And, you know, what did members of this conservative community think about, you know, your career ambitions?
First of all, I did get permission from the leader to see, and he said that I could do it, but I wasn't to expect any backup from the co-op. I had to do it on my own. He said some...
Meaning money?
Yes, or if we had a problem. Mm. I couldn't ask the leader, who was in direct connection with God and knew exactly what to do. Mm. And that was kind of a rude awakening to me when I found out that the leader did not know everything. Mm. That sometimes I had to assume the responsibility and see that it was taken care of.
Hmm. And yet you decided to stay within the community, even though there was...
Well, my husband was a first son of the leader.
Leon Kingston.
Yes, and he was programmed from birth. If you take a child and I consider that he was abused, not sexually, but he was, the key word was obedience. Mm. I need water. If you are like a puppet and you don't do anything unless you're told to.
Mm. So why did you stay to be... Why did you decide to continue
part of it,
to be part of the co-op?
My husband was the one, and
but you must have bought in as well.
Oh yes, yes. I was trained from the beginning, and I think it's the Catholic Church said, "Give me your children until 8, and I'll have them forever." I think that's true.
Speaking with Laureen Kingston, she's a retired midwife who's delivered about 3,000 babies, and she's the subject of a new biography titled The Midwife, a biography of Laureen Extron Kingston by Victoria Burgess, published by Signature Books. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Laureen Kingston, eventually both you and Leon felt it was time to bring another wife into your family. And the second wife happened to be your little sister, Rowena.
We were told to. We didn't have that feeling until we were told to. And the way they told us is that with the Kingston name, we were to live polygamy because it gave the group extra strength. And so we did it like we were told to. We were good robots.
What did Rowena bring to your family?
Total different personality, a lot more fun, not so restricted in spending money for things she liked. Well, and I was the dutiful person who... went without so everybody else could have something. Mm. She was fun. She brought laughter and relaxation to our home.
There's a story in the biography about a mother that you were working with named Laura?
Yes.
Who you were helping as a midwife. But you noticed that there was some sort of detachment there. Tell us about the encounter that you and eventually Rowena had with Laura.
We were uneducated. We had very innocent, and we had no idea there was any kind of abuse to anyone. If you live God's laws, how could there be? But I noticed as Laura was in labor, the latter part of labor, she focused on the windows in the home, which were little slits at the top of her bedroom. And I couldn't reach her. She was some other place. And then she was having flashbacks of her sexual abuse. And again, uneducated. And then the group she was in was not the same group that I was. In fact, I didn't advertise that I belonged to any group. She said she was going to commit suicide. She called me. And I said, well, and my voice talked her into coming to my home. When she got to my home, I really didn't know what was bothering her, and she didn't either. And Rowena had just finished a course on hypnotherapy. And I always laugh and say it isn't the kind where you bark like a dog. It's where you get in touch with your inner self. And I took care of her children, which Rowena lived right next door to me. And then she found out what it was about. And we had girls come to our home at first. Again, we thought they were making those stories up, and then we found out it was true. Rowena was so overwhelmed and sickened by what she was hearing. That was where Tapestry came. And yes, we housed people in our home, and thank goodness Leon was supportive.
How did the other members of your group think about you as becoming a haven for abused women within these fundamentalist sects?
They took it as if we were doing wrong, and all of us were uneducated in those days. But if you said one thing against polygamy, then you were really bad.
How long did this continue, harboring these women who really needed your help?
I think a month was the longest. We took their families in. They had bruises. There was no place for them to go at that time. Now it's really nice. It was sort of the early days of learning about these things.
When was this?
I can't remember what year it was, and I'm terrible with numbers. I'm good at stories and touch, but...
We're speaking with Laureen Kingston. She's a retired midwife who has delivered thousands of babies, and she's the subject of a new biography titled The Midwife. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number. You mentioned that Rowena was quite disturbed,
yes.
Very upset,
yes.
By this encounter, repeated encounters,
yes.
With women who were abused, and that kind of led her on a different path. She eventually left your marriage and, as you mentioned, co-founded this group, Tapestry Against Polygamy. I didn't get a real strong sense in the book, but that must have turned your life upside down.
Oh, it did indeed. And also, the group we were in gave us a choice to get rid of Rowan and all the children, never talk to them again, or we couldn't, Leon and myself and children could not go to any co-op functions. And most of the people that was given that choice did indeed say, I will never talk to you again, and my daughter-in-law was one of them, to prove the loyalty to the leaders. Her mother called her and told her she was sorry she ever had her. She wished she'd never seen her. Don't ever speak to her again. And it just devastated my daughter-in-law. When your mother does things like that, it's pretty hard on you when you love your mother.
So how did it affect your relationships with the others in your family and in your group?
We were shunned, and I was doing some girls in the co-op, their births, and they were told that if they came to me or drove down my driveway, their baby would die. Hmm. And so that was cut off pretty fast.
We're speaking with Lorene Kingston, a retired midwife, the subject of a new biography, The Midwife, a biography of Lorene Ekstrom Kingston by Victoria Burgess, published by Signature Books. And if you'd like to join us, if you've got questions or comments about Kingston's experience in polygamy, also with her experience as one of the most respected midwives in Utah, give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. We need to take a break. We'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce. Lorene Kingston spent decades delivering babies, becoming one of Utah's most sought-after midwives. But a new biography of Kingston shows a more complex woman who also advocates for abused women and embraces polygamy. Today on the program, or I should say, embraces the co-op. Today on the program, we're talking with Lorene Kingston, the subject of a new biography titled The Midwife, published by Signature Books. And you can join us if you like. What's been your experience with a midwife? What do you want to know about the pioneering midwife, Lorene Kingston? 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Lorene Kingston, let's turn to your activities as a midwife. You started delivering babies at home in the early 50s when, as you mentioned, it was illegal at the time. How has the practice of midwifery changed since those early days?
It is certainly more accepted. I think there was a tussle between the male and the female. Obstetricians who could do no wrong, who knew everything and don't ever question it. As time went on, there was lawsuits, and that helped a great deal. But at the beginning, it was just, who do you think you are doing these things? I think I was born with a gift, and that gift was a gift of touch that brought comfort. And I was loyal to the people that I took care of. I had my own ethics. And the main thing was that birth was certainly much more than just having a baby. At that time, in fact, I remember at LDS Hospital, I was down the hall when they did the last Jewish circumcision in the hospital. And times were changing, and I am glad that I was involved in it, and certainly have respect for everyone.
You said that birth is just more than that physical, you know, bringing a baby in. In the biography, you're quoted as saying, "The most spiritual high I've ever had was at a birth. I've never left a birth without feeling inspired, even though I feel physically exhausted." Expand on the effects you feel being present at that moment as a midwife.
I feel responsible. I realize that I have, it isn't just fun, that I have two lives in my hands in some ways, and I want the best results. I am not so proud that I can't receive help from anyone that can give that help. And over the ages, for instance, I took a girl into then Salt Lake Regional Hospital, and it was for a retained placenta, and there was so much fear involved with home birth. I went as just a relative, and the doctor did an episiotomy with no local, and said, there, I hope that teaches you never to have a home birth again. So there was a lot of negativeness that I plowed through and tried to make it better so we could all get along in it. It could be a celebration like it should be. Birth could be.
Speaking with Lorene Kingston, a retired midwife who has delivered about 3,000 babies, subject of the book, the new biography titled The Midwife. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number. And let's go to the phones. And Jim is calling us from Salt Lake City. Jim, hi.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I lived in St. George, went to Dixie High School, Dixie College, and my mother was a nurse in the Dixie Memorial Hospital and helped the doctor deliver babies there. And a lot of times the doctor would come, you know, Saturday night, Friday night, and he'd be half drunk, you know, and he'd say, well, go ahead and just deliver it and I'll watch and make sure everything goes okay. And would let my mother go and deliver the baby, you know. And her friend that worked with in the hospital, they had escaped from Colorado City, and would those girls would come to her in St. George when they had no place else to go.
Mm.
And I'd be with mother back and forth to taking mother to work, or she'd have us over for dinner, and the girls would be there, and I would sit and talk with the girls, you know. They thought I was neat. I'm a 56 Chevy convertible, you know, and they thought I was a neat guy. But anyway, they would say they would be in church 9, 10, 11 years old, and these guys would sit next to them and put their hands on them, even run their hands up their legs, you know, and say, well, you're going to be mine in a year from now. And you know, I just can't believe that all that went on. And you talk about the incest. Was that from other church members saying that the girls before they were even married to them, or what was, I didn't quite catch that, you know.
Lorene?
With Laura, it was, she was groomed as with her mother, that, and this gentleman had several wives, but he had her family, her mother and family live away, and he, from the group, he told her, the mother of Laura, that she pleased him more special than any of the other wives, but she was not to say what went on in their home.
Hmm.
And so he abused the mother and the daughters, but it was all quiet and secretive. Now, eventually, this man did serve in the penitentiary for a short time, but when he came back, they put him right back where he was at the beginning, as if it was all wiped away. It never happened.
Well, Jim, it sounds like your mother's experience was very similar to Lorene's, and I'm grateful for your comments. Thanks very much for the call.
Well, thank you. I'm glad she's doing this. Thank you. Bye.
801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. This email from someone who wants to be anonymous. This person writes, I recently read the book Secrets and Wives. The author attempted to find out about various fundamentalist Mormon polygamist groups. And the writer said he made some progress investigating polygamy in southern Utah, but ran up against a brick wall with the Kingstons. He painted them as the most secretive and reclusive of all of the fundamentalists. Any comment on that, Lorene Kingston?
I think it all stems from fear. I haven't been involved actively for several years with the Davis County Co-op. I have a lot of friends, but if we speak to each other, it has to be quiet so that the leader doesn't know, or there's spies around. They might tell the leader that, and it's called shunning, and that's kind of painful. You have to survive, you have to live between what I believe and so I can survive and go on and be a servant to all people.
So you deeply believe in the doctrine? of the co-op?
It's different than it was at the beginning, and I think there was really a reason for it at the beginning, but now it's only needed for those who have a ceiling on them and are willing to be absolutely obedient.
This anonymous email also brings up another point. To avoid contamination, this is according to this book, Secrets and Wives, to avoid contamination with other DNA, inbreeding and incest were almost celebrated in the group. They treat the founder's genetics as a form of royal blood, and this has made some unusually rare genetic defects very prevalent in the community. As a midwife, Lorene Kingston, did you see evidence of that kind of inbreeding and the genetic problems that can result?
I did. I wasn't really involved in it, thank goodness. It seems to be more prevalent now, but I did go to the leader, Ortel, at one time.
And Ortel Kingston.
Yes, Ortel Kingston, and ask him, I told him for what I knew about genetics, wasn't he worried about marrying too close? And he said it is a lot like a mountain. It's wide at the bottom, but as you get to the top, then you might fall off. And for some reason that satisfied me, and I was so busy I didn't care about people. Most of all, I cared about getting that baby there safe and the mother okay, and I didn't really, and I loved children, and I wanted the children involved as much as they felt like they could handle it.
I was going to ask you about that. I understand that you helped deliver all but four of your grandchildren, and in the biography, it describes this as, I don't want to say a party atmosphere, but you definitely invited whoever felt like they wanted to be there to be there. It was there's a group dynamic to it. Why?
It was like a party. And the one thing I now do not like, I like more privacy for the mother for a few days, but we didn't know then. It was just a party, the baby's here, and ooh and on, who does the baby look like, and there was always food involved, and we've learned to be more respectful and wait for a few days. It's better. But home birth then was a big party.
We're speaking with Lorene Kingston. She's a retired midwife who delivered about 3,000 babies during her career. And there's a new biography about her life titled The Midwife. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. In your experience as a midwife, I mean, certainly childbirth and the philosophy surrounding childbirth have changed. In the biography, it talks about someone approaching you about giving birth underwater, and you weren't quite sure about how to do that. And I just think it's interesting how your reputation extended beyond the group, beyond the co-op, and people started to come to you looking for alternatives, you know, looking for a natural childbirth. Were you surprised to have people that you didn't know approaching you and saying, hey, could you help me with this?
I was surprised, but I was also supportive and open and wanted to learn. And many physicians came to my home. And in fact, one, Dr. Stuart Bresch, nearly lost his license because of the medical association not supporting his choice for home birth. But people educated me, and he did. He was certainly an educator. So last night I was at a book signing, and I saw so many loyal people I hadn't seen for years. And one girl asked if she was in the book, and she said, remember, I was that Christmas Eve baby or Christmas Day baby. And we were in the bathroom, and the toilet broke, and water shot all over, and but it was the stories. human, wonderful stories that I have memories of. I call them precious moments.
Mm. Do you have an especially memorable one? I mean, we can go on with what I caught my eye, but I mean, what about some of your fondest memories giving or helping to deliver babies?
One, if a man was so dominant and I was in the home that he could tell the lady when she was having contractions and she wasn't, or when she was having a contraction, he would say, no, you're not having a contraction. I mean, any woman that hears this control and ever had a child can't imagine that. There are some men that are that restrictive and, to me, abusive.
How did you handle that?
Well, I would send them on an errand, and then she'd have the baby.
Get him out
and,
of the room.
I remember one lady I took to the hospital to have a blood transfusion, and the emergency people didn't want me in the room. I said, well, I'm small, and I'll just stand here by the oxygen tank and be by this girl. And she didn't want blood, and I said, well, why? I knew she wasn't a Jehovah's Witness. She says, because there might be black in it, black blood. So you can see that and I came from the days of no telephone, instinct, and some people believe that if I thought about them, they'd get pregnant, so please don't think about them. It was that strong. If you have no telephone, no communication, how do you know when the lady's in labor? It was strange, but I would just know. And sometimes I was wrong, but most of the time I was right.
It sounds like you have been able to dispel some of the myths. I mean, education is part of your mission as a midwife?
Yes, I think that is true.
You're almost 81. You've got a birthday coming up next week.
Uh-huh.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
If you had to do it over, would you do anything differently in your midwife career or in your relationships or in your faith?
I would not be so aggressive, and there's a difference between aggression and assertion.
What do you mean by that?
I would get a little upset because how could anyone be so stupid to not have a clean bathroom or linen or baby clothes, nothing. What were we going to put on the baby? There were people like that. If they were mentally challenged, I understood. But some of the people were not. It just wasn't a priority in their life. And so I certainly did my artistic work with no pay because they couldn't afford it. And many times I bring clothes to their home. I remember my children were around the table, and it's hard on a family for a midwife to be gone all the time. And I would bring linen home and wash it and take it back the next day. And so my children were used to that. This time I brought a baby, and it was wrapped up in a blanket, and they were playing cards, and I put the baby in the middle of the room in the table, and went out to get more things. It was like, this happens every day, and my children they put up with it. But this time the bundle of clothes moved, and they were shocked. In those days, we even nursed each other's babies. We were not afraid of contamination or anything like that. Thank goodness I had enough professional training that I needed. I knew the difference between sterile and clean. And I used to say to the students I taught, What is the difference between a professional person and maybe a quack? The difference is when you do something, you say it might help. A quack says it what real help. It will help. Hmm. And how can you say that when each person is so different?
Just a couple minutes left, but what do you think of today's doctor-midwife relationship?
Much, much better than it used to be, but still struggling. And I think that a male person cannot feel, I prefer women to be with women. I prefer myself to have a female doctor because I think we relate better than a man. But I've seen wonderful male physicians that were, I would just love to be around them. In fact, in the past, Dr. Old Age, one of the doctors wanted me to, wanted to watch me do a, take care of a woman in the hospital. And he was amazed at the pressure points, the hands-on things that I did, and he copied them. He said, Lorene, I put my hands on my patient's knees, and I felt like God because she was so relieved. And there are many things you can do without medication. I'm not opposed to medication if you need it. But it's much better if you can do it naturally.
Mm-hmm. And so there are still things to learn from the midwife.
Oh, always. And the client. I cannot say patient because I'm practicing medicine, but I can say client.
When's your next observation? I know you've retired as a midwife, but when's the next baby that you'll be part of?
I don't know. Maybe today. I get a lot of telephone calls. And the one thing I ask them to do is please call me back and tell me how it went. I give my advice, and it's always protective, cautious.
Speaking with Lorene Kingston, she's a retired midwife who delivered about 3,000 babies here in Utah, and she's the subject of a new biography titled The Midwife. And Lorene Kingston, thanks so much for your time today.
It's my pleasure.
Coming up next, the beauty of sculpture, but first a break. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City.